RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com. Carrie is a librarian and passionate reader, writer, and photographer who loves to travel in her Jayco travel trailer, aka Birdie. After only spending a few short weekends in Birdie, Carrie and her family decided to take an epic road trip from Missouri to Yosemite National Park. Her blog posts were nothing short of stunning.
Welcome, Carrie.
Hello.
So last time on episode number 2, you took us to St. Louis West, historic Route 66, KOA.
Yes.
Where are you taking us to this week?
Well, I'm leaving my Midwest region to take you all the way to Sedona, Arizona, to a campground called Rancho Sedona, right in the heart of the city.
Are you dreaming of warm summer weather right now in the heart of December?
I was looking at our pictures from Sedona and just wanting to be there.
We like our correspondents to break out of their regions occasionally as well. So I was happy to see you pick something out west.
Yes, this is one of our favorites. On our big road trip, we stayed at 12 different campgrounds. And this is just really our favorite out of all 12 of those. So that's a lot of competition.
For people that are not familiar with Arizona, situate us, where exactly is this campground in the West?
Sure. This is in the northern part of Arizona. If you're taking the interstate across, you'll go through Flagstaff, which is quite a bit different than Sedona. It's up in the mountains. And so we were driving, we go up, up, up in elevation, we get into the pine trees and the beautiful cool weather. And I was just really excited because that's my kind of place. But then you turn south to go to Sedona. And so we start going south and the elevation starts going down and we start losing our beautiful pine trees and cool weather. And I started to just kind of get this feeling in the pit of my stomach like, oh, we made the wrong decision. We should have went to Flagstaff because it was just obviously so beautiful there. But then when you get all the way south, about an hour south of Flagstaff, all of a sudden the landscape changes and these gorgeous red rocks just rise out of the landscape. And it's just nothing short of stunning. It's a beautiful place. The landscape's totally different from Flagstaff because in Sedona, you're in the desert. But these beautiful rocks set the stage.
For our listeners, in the show notes on the campgroundoftheweek.com website, we will put links to both of Carrie's blog posts about the RV park and about Sedona in general. And you can see all of these beautiful pictures that she took in the area.
And the pictures really, Carrie, help show what you just described very nicely there, that sort of change in the landscape and the topography as you make that journey across Arizona.
Yes. And it was, we just were not disappointed after we got there. We were like, okay, this is the right place to be. We're so glad we came here and definitely put it on our list of places to return to.
So what type of campground is this? Is this a private campground?
Yes, this is a private one, fairly small. It has 85 sites spread out on three different loops, and it is a good SAM, so you can get a little bit of a discount on the rating. I kind of tagged it with my own name. I decided that they should use the motto, cool, clean, convenient, with a creek.
I like that description, especially because you're talking about being in a desert, and it almost sets that oasis, right, tone to the whole thing, that you've been traveling through the desert and you arrive at this really relaxing, nice oasis.
Exactly, because in Sedona, this creek flows through the canyon. It's called Oak Creek Canyon, and that goes right along the edge of the campground.
Is that why there were all of those trees there? Is it because of the creek, and this is just a different little area of the valley?
I imagine so. So they have these cottonwood and sycamore trees that just really frame the campground and provide a lot of shade. And even though the rest of Sedona is this, you know, red, sandy, deserty area, when you turn the corner down into this campground, it really feels like an oasis. And it was very cozy. It kind of felt like you're down a little bit in this valley in this really nice, cozy oasis.
And you said that in the blog post, you said the creek was actually sort of swimmable, that you could dip your feet in and relax there.
Yes, I would definitely take chairs with us if we went again, and mom and dad can hang out, relax, and the kids can crawl around in the creek and can't really, you know, jump in and swim, at least not where we were. We didn't go very far up or down it, but it was definitely fun to be splashing around. So our boys really enjoyed that.
Were there any tent sites available at this campground, Carrie?
No tents and no cabins. So this is just for RVers.
Okay. And did you book this ahead of time, or was this sort of an unarranged stopover?
No, this one I did book in January, and we were staying in June. And at that point, all of the creekside sites were already taken. So the most important tip for Rancho Sedona is book early, because it fills up.
And you said in your blog post that this is really the only show in town in Sedona as well, right? And you said like you were kind of surprised they did, because they could probably just dial it in because they don't have much competition. But you said this was a great place.
Yeah, they could. This really is the only commercial campground there. I think it looked like maybe 20, 30 miles outside of town, there are some different parks that have some kinds of camping. I don't even know if they had hookups or anything. So this really is the only show in town, and it's lovely and beautiful, and they do a really good job of taking care of it.
But it sounds like just like some of our campgrounds that we've stayed at, and even the campground that Keith and Tia reviewed on episode number 4 in Florida, it's really worth it to try to book ahead and get one of those prime spots near the creek to make a difference in your experience.
That's right. I couldn't tell. There's an embankment along the creek, I guess, just to prevent any kind of flooding. I couldn't tell that if we had had maybe one of those fifth wheels with the back window. If we could have looked into it.
Is that when you started dreaming about your toy haul or patio, Carrie?
With the patio, we could have just flipped it out and been right overlooking the creek. Yeah.
All right. And so what are the price ranges of these sites?
A pretty big price range. They go from $35 to about $70. So obviously the $70 sites are along the creek. We had a kind of in the middle of that because we had a pull through. There's not very many pull throughs, it didn't look like. So if you have to have a pull through, you're going to want to call ahead. But the creek size spots, even though they're not pull throughs, they're in a big area where I think even the big rigs can maneuver into those.
And it looked like a lot of the sites had concrete patios.
They did. Yeah, okay. There was concrete patios and very nice picnic tables. We had one of the few end sites. So we had a little grassy area with a fence-in area. And I think if you had toddlers or, you know, small children, that would be a really great place to kind of let them out and stretch their legs.
Yeah, your site looked terrific in the photo on the blog post. I mean, I would like that site quite a lot.
Yeah, and we were along the main driveway into the camp, but I never felt like we were out in the open or anything. I still kind of felt cozy in our spot.
Was there road noise at all from a nearby highway or a nearby road?
No, I don't think that. Maybe people can go other places down that road, but there really wasn't a lot of traffic other than for the RV park.
Okay, so you've really nicely described all of the campsites at Rancho Sedona RV park. You've told us that we want to get the creekside sites if we can, but if not, there's the nice end sites that have, you know, a little bit of fencing, a little bit of grass. So we've picked our site at the campground. We're settling in. What are the other amenities that we're going to find at this campground?
First of all, cleanliness. I know that may not be a particular
amenity. It's an amenity.
we're going to count it as one.
Yeah, okay, good. Because they have this, it seemed like a swarm of workers. Like every time somebody pulled out, you would see a little golf cart pull in and they would pick the site clean, rake the gravel. I mean, just every bit of it was cleaned up and neat. And the showers were marble showers, which, you know, campground showers aren't usually much to write home about, but they were marble showers with a huge sitting area for doing your changing with like a plush rug, you know. I mean, they were very fancy showers for a campground.
you said this was Disney World clean in the blog post.
It was. I mean, when we stayed at Fort Wilderness, I think one time we saw like something spilled on the sidewalk, you know, and an hour later it was gone. And I bet this place could rival that because they just had their army of people cleaning and tidying. So beautiful, beautiful clean campground. As far as other amenities, they didn't have as much, you know, last time I talked about that St. Louis KOA that was just bursting with activities and things to do and stuff to do in the campground. But this one, you have a pretty basic playground with tetherball is what my boys use there. There's a volleyball, but there's not a pool. You have the creek. And then there's a group conversation pit. It used to looks like it used to be a fire pit, but it doesn't seem like campfires are allowed here. I don't know if that's a kind of a citywide thing because of drought or fire danger or something, but or if it's just a campground rule. So there's kind of a little sitting area. And then that's kind of it as far as amenities. So you're there to go out to Sedona.
Okay, so there were no campfires allowed at your sites either?
Right.
Okay, right. And that seemed like a permanent rule, not just something that was in place because of maybe drought or...
Right, okay. Right. It's on the website. And they're kind of particular even about like propane fire pits and different things like that. They do have a lot of rules here. And some of the reviews, people did complain about the number of rules, but I felt like they're very fair about them. When you call and book, you know, they will reveal kind of those main rules with you. And, you know, they're doing it to keep their place really beautiful and tidy and cozy and quiet. So
I think we always tend to appreciate that too, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if having a bunch of rules means the campground is clean and quiet, doesn't bother me one mm-hmm. bit.
And as long as they strike the right tone with the rules and you don't feel like you're getting barked at or anything, you know, then I find it really actually
and
nice.
People aren't coming here to party late into the night, obviously. Right. This is a real quiet family location.
Now, overall, did the campground feel like people were settled in and staying there for a while for a vacation? Or did it sort of feel like people were overnight and in and out? Was it busy or was it sort of sleepy and quiet?
There's probably really a mixture there. We didn't notice a lot of people coming and going, but I think we were out of the campground kind of during the main area. There's quite a few seasonal spots and spots for kind of long-term people. They do rent by the month. But it didn't seem, you know, it just seemed like a good mix of both.
And you had no problems with the Wi-Fi while you were there?
I don't think so. It seems like it worked. That was kind of an issue across our road trip at lots of places. So I think this one actually worked.
I bet it did, because if it didn't, you would know from your boys, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it seems like it worked there.
Okay. So are there any other insider details that our listeners need to know? You already told us that we need to get those creekside sites. Is there anything else that they need to know before they go on this website and try to get a reservation for their trip out west?
Make sure you pay attention to their directions. Google Maps will send you down this highway called Highway 89A, which if you look at it on Google Maps, it looks like in your intestines. And that is not a good road for an RV.
That's a simile only an English teacher and a librarian would make.
Love it.
Yeah. So luckily, they do warn you on the website, and it seems like she even verbally warned us. And so we were glad to listen to that. And you just stay on this interstate, and it'll kind of go down and then loop you back up to Sedona. So it looks like it's the longer way, but if you're not having to twist and turn and route around, then it must be a lot easier. We did end up on 89A though. At 11 o'clock one night, we were trying to find out if there was a Walmart, and Google Maps, I think, told us that there was a Walmart up that highway.
So Carrie, there's always a Walmart.
No.
Okay.
No. We learned that on this trip. Trust me, when my children were fighting over the last packet of Kool-Aid and I was like, we'll get one at the next Walmart, you discover there really is not a next Walmart sometimes.
Good to know. Okay, so this campground sounds terrific. It's really the only show in town, but we know that nobody's perfect here at RVFTA. So what could be improved at this campground within reason?
Sure. It looked like there was really only one bathhouse with a couple of showers in it. So you kind of had to watch out to make sure it wasn't full, you know, when you took your gear there. But that's kind of it. It was really, like I said, our top pick out of 12 campgrounds that we stayed at.
Okay, so just build another marble bathhouse.
Sure. And you will be fine. You could save money. It doesn't have to be marble. But other than that, it was really a really great place.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. Well, that was a great review of the campground. We'll be back in a second with Carrie Cox to talk about the activities and attractions near the Rancho Sedona RV Park in Arizona. Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here again with Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com, and we just got finished talking about the Rancho Sedona RV Park in Arizona, but now we want to talk regional highlights.
Yeah, Carrie, you told us that this was a great base camp to explore Sedona. So tell us, what are we exploring? What are we doing when we visit Sedona?
I would bet that most people who go to Sedona, the biggest draw is the scenery and then getting out into that scenery any way you can. So there's hiking paths, there's biking paths, there's pink Jeep tours, there's all kinds of ways to get out there and explore those red rocks.
What did you do while you were there?
We took a hike. We looked up, we Googled, you know, family-friendly hikes. If I went back, I would definitely buy a guidebook because there are dozens, maybe hundreds of trails in this area. So kind of narrowing in on which ones fit your bill of what you're looking for. But luckily, Google sent us to the Boynton Canyon Trail, which ended up being a great, short, family-friendly hike. And we were really lucky. It was only in the 60s while we were there. I think it's normally maybe in the 90s in the summer. And we just had a beautiful hike on the trail. The landscape is so different from home. Like when you're up in the mountains, even though it's so beautiful, it still kind of still feels like home to us. But the desert landscape has different flowers. They look like something out of Dr. Seuss. The red rocks, everything, even the dirt was different from home.
On your blog post, you called them Technicolor flowers.
Yes.
Which I loved that line. And some of your photos kind of proved it in the article.
Yep. Yes, and you have to be careful because some of those Technicolor flowers are attached to cacti. So we were admiring. We all hopped out and had our phones taking pictures of the same flower to see, you know, whose was the best. And my youngest son, the needles just jumped out and he got, you know, 20 pokes in him. And he said that he hated cacti for the rest of the trip.
Lesson learned.
He took it personally. But luckily, the rest of the time, we stayed out of the cacti and we were fine. There's a place there called Slide Rock Park, which we didn't get to go to because we were only in Sedona for about we had 2 days to explore. But Slide Rock is where that creek that went through our campground, it goes to through a different area of the canyon, and the rocks are really smooth and it makes a natural water slide. So that looked really popular. And there's a Red Rock State Park with trails, and I think you can have a driving loop through that too.
So this is a really major outdoors destination, it sounds like. I mean, if you're into hiking, if you're into biking, if you're into off-roading, this is a pretty top place.
Yes. Speaking of off-roading, I'm not into off-roading. And there's a famous place in Sedona called Schneebly Hill Road. And my family decided that they should just show it to me. So we take off on my husband's FJ Cruiser, which is a 4x4. But when we saw the little Honda with bleeding men in it and broken parts falling off.
Oh my goodness.
How many bleeding men?
There were two bleeding men who were probably stoned bleeding men. I don't know what their situation was or why they thought they should take that little Honda on that road. But apparently they probably regretted it as much as I did, even though I didn't end up bleeding. But this road, it used to go from, or maybe it still does actually, go from Sedona to another town. So it's a really long road, but it is full of pits and craters and rocks. And so it's an adventure. Well, we get out on it on my husband's road, and it's just jumping and rocking. And I wanted out of there, and I wanted to go home because it terrified me. So I insisted that they take me home. So they did. They went back and explored a little bit on their own, but I think even the boys were like, "No, no, no, Dad."
This I found this to be very bold on their part, because you're on this huge extended trip out to Yosemite, and if something goes wrong with the truck, you guys got a huge problem.
Thank you for the backup on that, Jeremy, because that's what I kept saying. I was like, this isn't just if you damage your car. Like, we could be stuck in Sedona if you damage your car. So,
and pretty as it is, that wasn't part of your game plan. Now, Carrie, you also explored the downtown Sedona area, right?
That's right. It's a little bit touristy, but not quite like a Branson or a Myrtle Beach or a Gatlinburg or anything. But it does have some of the same kind of t-shirt shops and the fudge or whatever. But what makes their downtown special is when you're walking around and all of that, you look up and you still see those red rocks. And throughout the day, they change colors and just look beautiful. My husband even asked one of the workers if living there, if you ever get tired of that and quit noticing. And she's like, "Nope, I've lived here 2 years. And I still look up and enjoy that view." So it's just a nice place to walk around. There's also some art galleries and kind of higher end shopping. So it's a great place to hang out and relax if you're not into the hiking.
And this is a big snowbird destination too, from what I understand, in the winter months, right? So I'm not surprised to hear there's some high end shopping as well.
That's right. I was just looking on their website and they were saying, you know, you get a nice cool breeze and you get some dustings of snow, but you don't have to have a coat. And I was really ready to pack up.
Yeah, a lot of snowbirds like that. They like a little bit of the seasonal experience without having to deal with the ice and the snow. So, and right. I can imagine liking that also.
That's right.
The whole area seems like a dream for a photographer as well. Were you just kind of really having fun with the camera while you were there?
We were. I mean, I think it's that contrast of those Technicolor flowers popping out, the red rocks, the sun. In the Rancho Sedona RV Park, if you walk up the hill from the park, you know, you can just see one of those rocks. And we were walking to the tether ground pit and the sun was setting and it was just glowing. So it's really a neat place to walk around. We decided that I think a really great trip would be to go spend part of your time in Flagstaff and have all of that high altitude, kind of more mountain stuff, and then spend part of your time down in Sedona. And you would have two very different environments, but an hour apart.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Would you ultimately say Sedona should be more of a 4-day, 5-day stop as opposed to your 2-day stop? Or did you feel like you covered what you wanted to cover?
Oh, no way. We definitely, after we left there, we're like, we have to go back there. You know, luckily for us, it's only a 2-day drive to get there as compared to California, which is, you know, many days. So we will definitely be going back and spending a week hiking and getting out there and really exploring the nature and the beautiful, beautiful area.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for that great review of Rancho Sedona RV Park. Now tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and on the internet.
Very good. I have a blog called Travels with Birdie, and it's on travelswithbirdie.com. And I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter. So find me any of those places.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Carrie. We'll see you at the campground.
Thanks. See ya.
Thank you so much to Jayco for sponsoring this show. And
thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
and Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.